Good morning, Journey family. Morning. Wait right a minute. Hello. You get all kinds of love up on stage this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Journey Church. As if it's your first time visiting us, my name is Leonard Small. It's just me and nobody special. If you look inside of your church bulletin, there's this little white slip of paper. If you can fill it out for us, that'd be awesome. And if you have any changes to your address or if you have any prayer requests, go ahead and put that on there. In a moment, we're going to be receiving our offering. Y'all don't care, but I'm going to take this time to have a little therapy session with you all, tell you about my week. All right, is that okay? Is that cool? Yeah, I'll take two seconds. So anyway, this week, I ran into a little rough patch spiritually. And so I'm praying about, this little dilemma between me and my wife, and I'm praying for her. She needs the help, right? But lo and behold, instead of God answering the prayer that I'm praying for her, he starts ministering to me about my issues. And it reminds me that we can sometimes make prayer a one-way conversation of God, I need you to do this. And I think we can forget that God speaks back to us. That led into a conversation with me and my daughter about God's voice and hearing God's voice. And it's not always some audible. It's not always this life-altering, life-changing kind of word. Sometimes it's just that still small voice. Sometimes it's God in his scriptures. Sometimes it's God sending people to you. But God is always speaking. So acknowledging God's presence, and even though you may feel like you're walking alone and doing this all by yourself, God is there. Amen? Amen. Y'all can send out your bills to me for that therapy session I owe you. All right, so today we're going to be praying for us as the church that we not only make our conversations with God one way, but they're a two-way conversation, that he continues to speak back to us. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and have the ushers come up, and we're going to go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for being a God who makes himself available to not only us individually, but us corporately, that we will be a people that longs for and seeks after your voice, that you, as you speak to us through your word, as you send people our way with the word from you, that and as words are being preached to us, Lord God, that you're continually speaking to our hearts, and you want us to be conformed in the image of your Son. As Antoine said, you left your throne and you come. You dwell inside of us. And we acknowledge that today, Lord God, that you are pursuing us. You're speaking to us. You're ministering to us. And so now, Lord God, as we turn our hearts and ears towards you to just soak it all in, Lord God, we just ask that you give us grace as we stumble, as we fail sometimes, but we will continue to try. We pray for this church and the offering about to receive for the building of your kingdom. We ask a special blessing over the hands that are able to give, and those who can't, Lord God, we ask that you continue to watch over them and bless them. Pray for all the churches in Jacksonville as we go out and share Christ with the world. We just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, looking at the church bulletin. Some of the things that stand out, still children's ministry. If you have a child that's in children's ministry, please just really think about showing back the same love and support our brothers and sisters in the back who serve. Go ahead and help reciprocate. Allow them to come out here and fellowship with God's people also. It's not just child care. I don't want you to think that you this is just daycare. You are making disciples, little Jesus followers. So it is very serious, but we still need your help. Also, every Wednesday night from 6 to 9, there's still work going on in the new building. And new service time, amen? Woo! Woo! Hey! Yes, new service time begins next week at 9 o'clock. And that's it. God bless.
Not a whole lot of cheering for that 9 o'clock service deal, huh? If you found yourself or thought you were a little cramped today or the parking lot was a little full, come back at 9 or 8:30 next week. I'm sure some people will be resting and sleeping in and there'll be a little more space. I'm just guessing. I hope you're all here. But as we say, there are how many churches in Jacksonville? One church. And if there's one that meets at 10 o'clock that you would rather be at, then maybe we'll see you when we move back to 10. I don't know. Good morning. I want to welcome you to Journey. If you're visiting, my name is Vic. I want to get started this morning before we jump into the message. We got a little bit out of a routine that we've been trying to make a habit of on Sunday mornings, and that's praying for missionaries and ministries that we support. And so I want to share with you a slide will come up about a ministry called the International Learning Center. This group actually, when Journey started as a really just a Bible study in our home, and then we finally grew and went into our first facility. When we first moved into that, we had never even taken an offering. So we were like, how are we going to pay for a building, you know, or just a rent? And so we found, okay, a certain amount of money that we would have, you know, toward that. And we still couldn't afford to rent a facility. And God connected us with this ministry, the ILC. And what we did was we shared a facility for the first 3 years. And we used it on Sundays and a little bit during the week, and they used it pretty much all week long. And now they have their own building right off of Chester Street, which is right down the road here. What they do is they teach English to refugees. There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 families that come into our city each month from other countries. And so they teach them everything from English, and you'll see their citizenship classes, computer skills. And then they have a time at the end where they teach them, they invite everyone to stay for a class where they just teach English and use the Bible. And then they just share the love of God. And real powerful ministry to reach people who, it's really tough for the church in general in Jacksonville to reach. So I want to pray for them, pray for Kim Carr, who's the director, and just for God to meet all of their needs. We continue to support them. We believe that what they're doing is really a valuable part of the body of Christ here in Jacksonville. So let's lift them up in prayer. God, thank you for this ministry where you do something unique and different. Lord, you reach people who it's tough for us to reach. And thank you for Kim and everyone who labors there. I pray that you would meet all of their needs, God, that your spirit would work powerfully in their midst, that they would see people from all different countries, Lord, Muslims, Hindus, come into a relationship with you as they share your love and share your word with them. God, if anyone in here would be moved to be a part of that, move their hearts toward that, God. There's a need for teaching and childcare, all kinds of opportunities to volunteer. So, God, we thank you for just the body of Christ in Jacksonville, that we could be a part of that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so two more announcements. One, 9 o'clock next Sunday. If you come at 10, you're going to catch just like the last half hour, which may be good for some of you. You know, I don't know. you're like, all we need is your benediction, Vic. That's good. Your benediction, we get the last song, we're good. 9 o'clock next Sunday, and that will be up until we move into our new facility, which, Lord willing, will be May, June. Really, it depends on how hard you're praying, okay? So we need you guys to be praying for that so we can move in there sooner. So be praying for that. And then I want to let you know that this week, in some traditions, really focus on the beginning of this week up until until Easter, Lent, the season of Lent. And last year, we really took some time to focus on Lent. I know some of you are thinking, Lent, isn't that like a Catholic thing? Or, you know, it's not in the Bible. And listen, Lent is a time where some people take 40 days to just kind of recalibrate their lives, focus on Christ. It's not just about giving something up. If it was about just giving something up and denying yourself, that just becomes a religious thing, and I don't know how good that really is. But it's not just letting something go. It's really about what you grab onto or what you pick up. And so last year we talked about that, an opportunity to say, God, what is it that's maybe hindering me a little bit in my relationship with you? What can I let go of and then take that time to focus on you more? So if that's something you're interested in, I want to let you know, Kathy, if you bring that slide up of our website. On our website, on the right, you'll see this little button says Lent 40 Days of Devotion. There's a 40-day devotional that will walk you through that season if it's something that you want to embrace and engage in. We encourage you to do that. It's great devotional material on there, and a great opportunity to just draw closer in your relationship with Christ. So, honestly, with everything going on, I'm not gonna lie to you or joke. With everything going on, and from the building to all stuff, man, I just forgot. I mean, it was like Easter's coming. I know that. That's on the calendar. And you know, we're talking about what it means to live on mission, and it just wasn't a focal point for us. But I think it's really good to have things like this in our lives where maybe we just slow down a little bit, and even as much as just taking time to focus on a devotional. Maybe your morning, maybe you don't do that, and this 40 days could help you do that. So I don't want to miss that opportunity, even though we're not going to have that as really a focal point for the next month or so. So that's there for you as a resource. All right, so we are continuing in our series called Living on Mission. Last week, we talked about how Jesus, when he came and he preached, he invited people. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. And we said, you know what? He really meant that, because the people of that time really needed that. They had been served up a heavy dose of religiosity and religious burdens. The law was put on them in such a way. It said in the one scripture we read that they were crushed by the weight of the law. And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. My yoke, my teaching is easy, and it will be rest for your soul. And it's by God's grace that we're saved through faith. And once we are saved by God's grace through faith in him, then it's his grace and his love that carries us on to share that with other people. And the good news is that God is inviting everyone and anyone who would come to him to receive that rest for your soul, and not so we can just sit back and do nothing, but so that we can go and live out the mission that God has given us. And I mentioned last week that talking about living on mission, the idea that Jesus says, go and make disciples, make followers of all nations of me, teaching them what you've been taught. We talked about how that doesn't mean that you have to necessarily add religious things to your calendar. Okay? It's really taking your calendar and leveraging that to the glory of God. See, I think it's important for us to realize that all of life is sacred. It's a gift from God. The breath that we have, it's a gift from God. Scripture says, your life's but a mist, here today, gone tomorrow. Okay? Mortality rate still hovers right around 100%, okay? We're all going to die one day. That's just the reality of it. It's what we do with the time that God's given us that's important. And so to understand that gift and embrace God's mission, here's my question this morning, at least one of them. Why is it that we don't embrace God's mission more than we do as individuals? You know, he says, I've come, given my life, died for you, blood shed. Jesus raises from the dead so that you might have life. Okay, he says, now go and share that with the world, what you found and what you know. Why is it that becomes secondary for most of us? Why is it hard for us to embrace his mission? And there's a lot of reasons. You say we live in a world, it's tough, we're all busy, we got all these things. But here's, I think, the real reason is we all have our own mission. Right? I mean, we do. We all have our own missions, so to speak. And what we do is we take what's most important in our lives and we orient our lives around those things that we deem most important. And for some people, their mission is, I mean, they probably wouldn't acknowledge this or admit it, but their mission is to pursue entertainment and comfort. Probably some of us in this room. For other people, it's to pursue security and wealth. For others, it's to give our kids everything that they could ever want. But here's the problem. See, as Christians, we don't have the right to say, God, I'm going to put your mission over there and I'm going to live my life for this and ignore this mission. See, we want to be the bosses of our lives. We want to be the ones in control, just like Adam and Eve and every kid, right? I mean, really, that's every child. They want to rule the roost. They want to, you know, they want to be in control. And we're children of God, whether we know it or not, you know, and he invites us into that relationship. And as children, there's times we just want to sit on the throne and rule. But that doesn't work if you say, I've given that position to Jesus. We say, submit your life to Jesus as what? Lord. What does that mean? Colossians 2, 5 to 7 says this, for though I am absent from you in body, this is Paul speaking to the church in, what is that? How did I listen? Colossi. Sorry. Good night. We talk about this. I'm 47 and I have these senior moments. I'm like, what is wrong? Me and Roxanne joke about it. I'm like, good night. All right, so Paul's writing to the church in Colossae. All right, and he says, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. So he challenges them, continue to live in Christ just as you received Christ. How did they receive Christ? As Lord. That Greek word means owner, possessor, ruler. Surrendered to him. You are Lord. His mission then becomes my mission. So I surrender my life to him. It's not like, hey, my life's pretty good, but I need a little Jesus, you know? And so I'm going to come and do the church thing. See, that's not the message of Christianity. And so this morning as we talk, I want to make sure we get to the heart of Christianity, what it means to surrender to Jesus as Lord, and what happens when we do that, okay? What happens to a person who surrenders their life and says, God, I've been controlling it, and it's been a mess. I've tried to hold on to the reins, and every time, you know, it leads to something that's not so good. I need you to come and take control, and I will follow you. What happens when a person does that? Receives the grace and the mercy that comes from believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Let me just share some scriptures with you, what the Bible says happens. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are forgiven, but look at, we're rescued from the dominion of darkness. Darkness had a hold of us. We're released. We're set free. Something's happened. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. You were rescued from darkness, but not only that, man, you were darkness. I mean, you were darkness, and now you're light. There's a transformation, there's a change that has taken place in the lives of those who surrendered to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Brand new, there's a change, there's a transformation. See, it's hard to read passages like that and then to come to the conclusion that Christianity is just a belief system. You know, you just believe that Jesus came, he died for your sins, he rose from the dead. Yes, I believe that. Check that box and go on with your life. No, people who believe that understand that the message is that we're to receive him as Lord, which means you have to surrender your life to him and say, God, okay, I need you. Come and take control of my life. And when that happens, something very real happens. You're set free. You're rescued. You're redeemed. You're given new life. There's a change, a very real change in your life. Your life changes. Maybe not all at once. And I'm sure every person in here, every spouse, every friend can say, yeah, I can attest to that, right? You know, you don't change everything all at once, but something has changed inside of those who surrender to Christ. Romans 8, 5 to 11. Paul writes, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, he's writing to people who believe. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Okay, so he starts off and he goes, there's those who live according to the sinful nature. That's not you. And he's writing to people who believe. He says, you live according to the Spirit. Look at verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Okay? That sounds a little different than me just believing in some system of religion or even believing right theology. He goes, no. If you put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And all those things that I read earlier happen. You're rescued, you're redeemed, you're restored, you're taken from darkness and put into light, you become light. So I want to talk for a minute about intellectual faith and experiential faith. And this might be scary to some of you, but I think it's important. Because we find ourselves dividing as Christians often into two camps. Really, we divide in all kinds of camps, right? I mean, it's unbelievable that when God says, the world's going to know you by your unity and your love for one another, and we're like the most divided people in the world. There's countless denominations that divide themselves over crazy, goofy issues at times. Calvinists, Arminians, predestination, free will. When's Jesus going to return? What's that going to look like? Pre-trib, post-trib, no trib. And then you have the frozen chosen and the charismaniacs. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. For one group, it's a stretch to even get them to close their eyes during a worship song, let alone raise their hands. I mean, they're just not, it's just not emotional. It's like, man, we want to stay away from that. For the other group, it's like they'd rather be martyred than have to sit through a service where all you sing is hymns. Right? They're just like, I mean, they're all, you know, we want to have that experience. Here's the deal. You can over-intellectualize your relationship with God to the point where theology can become an idol. The Bible, God's written word to us, it's important. The Bible can become an idol to you. We're never told to worship this. We don't worship a book. We don't worship written words or law. We worship the living God who has expressed truth in his word that he has given to us. So it is important. So the other side is the people who are so experiential in their relationship with God, you can have that tendency to allow your experience to supersede the truth of God's word, and we can never do that. So you have to be careful of that. But you can't divorce the two. See, because if I read God's word and I believe it to be true and it says that the Spirit of God comes to live inside those who put their faith in Jesus, I'm going to tell you folks, that's experiential. If a spirit comes to live inside of you, you're going to experience something. If you don't, then I wonder what the heck happened. Maybe you walked an aisle, maybe you made some profession, but something has to happen, right? How can you be born again without being born again? How can you have a new life and not know that you got a new life? Now, I'm not saying that you need to, you know, worship a certain way or not. I'm just saying, listen, we can't say that our faith is not experiential. How many relationships do you have that have nothing to do with experience or emotion? If you're married, you're not going to stay married very long if there is no emotion at all involved. You experience one another, you relate to one another, you grow. Some of what I'm sharing to you just comes out of concern because we live in a world where people have a lot of truth, and even though they have truth, I've seen people who've been in congregations like this for years and years and years and seem to have a lot of truth. And then one day it's like, yeah, I don't know if I really believe that anymore. I'm going, wait a minute. How does that happen? See, because no matter what happens and no matter science can tell me, you know, people are born a certain way or evolution, you can throw all that stuff at me, but I'm going to tell you something, and my wife can attest to it. When I was 21 years old, alcoholic, mess, total mess, doing drugs, selling drugs, something happened to me that I'll never be able to deny, and nobody can convince me anything other than the fact that I had an encounter with the living God that changed my life. Now, I have a lot of truth here that I stand on, but it's truth in that experience. And I'm not saying everyone has to have that kind of moment, but you got to have some kind of moment, and you got to have moments along the way. Because He's alive, and His Spirit's here, and His Spirit lives inside those who believe. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. That's what Paul wrote. So what happens is you see abuse and you see, man, these people, it's all about their experience, so much so they focus on the gifts of God to an extreme and they don't pay any attention to truth from God's word, good theology or teaching. And so then we see that and we go, man, I don't want anything to do with that because they've gone to an extreme that's unhealthy. And then we go over here and you have to be careful that one unhealthy extreme doesn't lead to another unhealthy extreme. Because it can lead you to say, well, man, all that Holy Spirit stuff, man, forget it. You know, you got to be careful of that. I'm okay, you know, I'm okay, just like this. And I'm okay, God, you know. And again, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about sometimes, man, we get broken. Maybe you got to get on your knees in your bedroom when no one knows you're there and cry out to God for your kids who are wandering from them. I don't know what it is, but God moves our hearts. He lives inside of us. Like Antoine was saying earlier when we were, you know, just during the worship time through music, you know, we have to listen because God's speaking. He didn't stop speaking. We got so stinking busy, we stopped listening. Emails, texts, and I mean, that's why if you've ever gone on a mission trip, you know, we go to Guatemala and go to different places. I always come back refreshed and renewed. And it's not because God's in Guatemala, you know, more than He's here. You know, you go, why do we experience a spiritual high there? Maybe we just strip away all the junk and my spiritual ears are open. You know, I make a point of the cell phone goes off. There's no email. And all of a sudden, I'm only there for one reason, to serve God with a group of people, share the love of God with people. And all of a sudden, you know what? I start seeing things and I start feeling things and I feel led to do something for someone. And then, you know, we see God do sometimes crazy things. And we go, why doesn't He do that here? I think a lot of it's just because we're not listening. We're not allowing Him to break into the busyness of our lives. That's why Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. So we have to be careful of the two different extremes. And this extreme over here, when someone has an experience, you can never allow your experience to dictate theology. And unfortunately, that's what happens in a lot of the charismatic side of things in the charismatic movement. Because I had this experience. I experienced the Holy Spirit this way. Now everybody needs to experience the Holy Spirit the way I experienced the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to put it on paper. We're going to make sure you do. And that's when people are going, wait a second, man, that's kind of strange. God's not strange. He's a God of order, but He's also a God who is almighty, omnipotent, all-powerful. He can do things that supersede the laws of this world. He can break in. He can heal. He can do all of those things. Do we believe that He is who He says He is? Have we received the gift of His Spirit that gives us new life? And if so, are we walking in that? Because what do you do with Romans 8, 10 to 11? But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Christ is in you if you have a relationship with Him. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. That's crazy to think about. Why do I continue to just live oftentimes just a mundane, just average life? You know? Why? Is God not living up to His part, or am I just missing? And I don't think it's like you need more. No, He's given you what you need. You might need to be filled more at times, simply because the world crowds in and pushes, seems like just pushes the presence of God out of our lives. We invite so many things to that place in our lives, that throne, and it's like, man, God's waiting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, this is Revelation, I will come in and sup with him, eat with him, and he with me. Now, we use that as an evangelism scripture, but if you read it in the context, that's not the case. He's on the outside of the church. This is a letter written to the church, and he says, I'm knocking at the door. If you let me in, I'll come in and be a part of what you're doing. How in the world did Jesus get outside the church? You know, the church started doing its own thing, and it happens, and we do that in our lives. We need to be careful. So I'm doing this, you know, doing this series on living on mission and what that means. And it would be crazy for me to talk about that and not talk about how God wants to empower us to live on mission. Jesus did not give us a mission that we could accomplish on our own. He gave us a mission that would be dependent on Him. Acts 1:1-9. Luke is writing, and he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Okay, so the last words of Jesus. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift the Father promised, the one that I spoke to you about. John baptized with water. Jesus said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you'll receive what? Power. Power to do what? Be his witnesses. Not to do cool things in the name of Jesus, okay? Power to be his witnesses, okay? Because there's times when you need that power to be his witness. When you go through a time where the world just throws everything at you, and you walk through it in a way that the rest of the world can't or doesn't, it's a display of the power of God in your life. I got a message before the service this morning to tell all of our congregation from Beth Calandro, who's been in ICU for going on 8 weeks now, 7 weeks in ICU. There were moments there where they just weren't sure if what kind of neurological function was there. They were talking about all kinds of things. Well, this morning, she gave a message and said, tell everybody at Journey, hello, and God is good. And this is a woman who literally got hit by a fire truck and has been pretty much immobilized in a bed for almost 8 weeks. And somehow she says, God is good. You don't do that in your own strength. You don't do that. It just doesn't happen. And so those are the kind of things God gives us power to be his witnesses. Joe, her son, showed me a text on Friday when I was over there from the doctor, actually the message. Her doctor, who's been working with her, is no longer going to be working, and he sent a message. And apparently he's a believer because in that text, you know, he just said what a blessing it was to work with her. And he said, this is truly a miracle. And he was just, I thank you for your mom, and it's been such an encouragement to me. And, you know, when you see that, you go, man, we can't do that on our own strength, you know? And people have been praying for her, and I believe God answers those prayers. And that's what we talk about, the power to be his witnesses, okay? And when he says it there in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, it's kind of concentric circles that it would go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth. So what does that mean for us today? I believe we need the work and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be his witnesses, to live for him in the midst of our own context. In our Jerusalem, you know, just right where you're at, in your home, in your family, you need the power of the Holy Spirit working in you so that you can be a witness for Jesus right there. Husbands, you need the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to love your wife the way you're supposed to love your wife. Jesus said, love, we're commanded to love our wives, Paul says, as Christ loved the church. That's a pretty high calling. I don't have that in me. I love my wife. But you look at Jesus, and it's only by the power of God that I can die to myself enough to love her even, you know, that much like Jesus loved the church. Women, respect your husbands, even when he's an idiot. Okay? I'm not saying you got to agree with him, but respect him. That's what the scripture says. Children, respect and obey your parents, even if you're a teenager. That's what it says. That's what you got to do. I'm losing my microphone. Sorry. So in our homes, in that Jerusalem, I would say, we need the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses. And so listen, let's make this practical. It's really easy to say that and say, okay, I'll just do my Bible study and then I'll be a better Christian today and I'll love my wife more. Listen, sometimes you got to listen to her and you got to listen to God. You got to listen to him, you got to listen to God. You listen to your parents, you listen to God. There's a relationship here. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're a believer in Jesus. Okay? So if I have a relationship with someone and it's not two-way conversation, it's not much of a relationship, right? Okay? So I'm not saying you're going to hear audible voices or anything like that. The Holy Spirit often sounds like me when I'm talking to God. Like, it's my conscience, you know, it's God dealing with me. And he brings truths of the scripture to mind, things like that, or a conversation from a brother or sister in Christ who encourages me or challenges me. But we got to be listening, because then God, all of a sudden, he could show us things that I wouldn't know, how to be a blessing to my wife or how to really encourage my children. See, God's all-knowing. I'm not. See, that's why it's important to have that relationship and have that dialogue. So we need his Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, maybe that next circle of relationships, the workplace, where you deal with people who might not have the same convictions as you or show integrity. How do you do that? How do you stand for what you need to in a way that honors God and shows the love of Jesus in those places? Or with the kids out on the soccer field or the basketball court, in my case, when you coach basketball, and honor God through that. Look for opportunities to share the love of God with the people in those situations. So you can live on mission right where you're at. We've been talking about that. Samaria, the bigger picture, our city, our country. Listen, man, you don't have to watch too much of the news to see our country's just jacked up really bad. Right? I mean, the moral fabric of our country is just is getting torn. And you know what? It's really easy to put a Facebook rant up, right? Great. You know, it's easy to do. Anyone can do that. And I don't know how much of an impact we have. But Scripture tells us, pray for our leaders. Pray for those, because God holds the heart of the king in his hand. Right? I don't know if you believe it or not, but it's true. So we pray for our leaders. He can lead people who don't even acknowledge him. He's God. So we can have an impact in so many different ways. And then you look at around the world, you know, to the ends of the earth to be his witnesses. There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot of pain in our world. There's people dying of hunger. I don't want to belabor the point, but about 3.5 million children will die this year of hunger-related causes. See, the Holy Spirit will need to work in our hearts for us to do a part in helping alleviate that. See, because sometimes it's only the Holy Spirit can loosen up the grip on our wallets. We're the most blessed people in the world, and this stuff is happening. 153 million orphans in the world. Some of you in here have adopted and been a part of being a blessing to those children. The Holy Spirit needs to work on us more so that we could be his witnesses and show that love in that way. People being persecuted all over the world because of their faith. I don't know that we really understand that one, you know? You know, Jesus died. Cruel death of common thief. Okay? All of the apostles died as martyrs for their faith, as far as we know from history. And all but John, pretty brutal deaths. I mean, he was just exiled, but still. Okay? So that was a real thing. That really happened. And then we live in America. We're so blessed. And we just think, man, you know what? I give what I give to God, and then life should just be easy and good. But it wasn't that way for Jesus. It wasn't, you know. And we have brothers and sisters around the world who are struggling, experiencing the very things we read about in Scripture. And they need the power of the Spirit to stand in the midst of persecution. Thankfully, we don't have to do that. Praise God that we don't have to do that. But we still need the power of the Spirit to have a heart for what's going on in this world and the world around us, and to be a part of bringing God's healing, his love, and grace. You guys all saw at least this story of the 21 Egyptian Christians who were martyred, were beheaded, because of their faith in Jesus, okay? No matter what anybody says, that's the deal. They were all given the opportunity to recant, and as the story goes, they kneeled down, most of them young men, okay? They're on their knees when they died, singing songs about Jesus. Okay? I was kind of debating on doing this, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to show a video of, it's a show, it's a like a television show, I believe in Egypt, and there's a call-in. Some of you probably might have saw this. There's a call-in, and it is the brother of two of the guys who were martyred. Okay, so it's not in English. You got to look at read the subtitles. But I want you to read and hear this, okay, from the perspective of someone who had a family member die for the cause of Christ, okay, and I think it's a testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're just about done, but I want to go ahead and play that, Kathy, and just watch this.
أخو أحد الضحايا اللي حصل في الاعتداء عليهم في ليبيا. قل لي شعورك إيه يا بشير. قل لي كلمني عن أخوك. كلمني عن إيمانك. كلمني عن اللي أنت منتظر من ربنا.
أنا ليش واحد بس.
آه يا حبيب.
أنا ليه اثنين أخواتي.
آه يا حبيب. تفضل.
اثنين ليه الشهيد بشوي الطفانوس كامل والشهيد سمايل الطفانوس كامل اللي أنا بتشرف بيهم في وسط العالم.
يا حبيب بشوي وصمائيل
بشوي وصمائيل بشوي 25 سنة صمائيل 23 سنة دول شرف للمسيحية وشرف ليا وخلوني ماشي رفع راسي يعني الحمد لله
يا حبيب عظيم إيمانك قل لي كلمني عن إيمانك اللي انت رافع بيه راسك ازاي خلينا نتعلم منه
دوا وأعطاه لنا داعش أزيد من اللازم يعني إن هو ما قطعش الفيديو وهم بيصرخوا بيقولوا يا يسوع يعني داعش هي اللي زودتنا في الإيمان أكتر
يا سلام
دجني
عظيم إيمان.
طالما هو طالما يعمل كده وما قطعش الصوت ان هو اخواتي كان ما يصرف ويقول يا يسوع دي حاجة شرفتني ومشكر عليها داعش وتنظيم داعش كله.
عظيم.
دي حاجة شرفتني.
ايوه. قل لي بقية العيلة عاملة ايه النهاردة؟
صدقني احنا عندنا الناس فرحانة، الناس لما تبارك لبعضها مش حالة حزن، لا الناس بتبارك لبعضها. على استشهاد الكم العظيم ده من بلدنا وفي كيف نتشرف البيوت.
طيب عايز احساسك تقوله لي لما حصلت الضربة الجوية على داعش في ليبيا وشفت مناظر الناس، قول لي انطباعك ايه يا بشير.
بص انا عاوز اقول لك على حاجة.
قول يا حبيبي.
احنا من البداية من عصر الرومان واحنا كمسيحيين بنستشهد. دي حاجة بتخلينا نحتمل اي حاجات لك. والانجيل برضو ما قال ايه؟ قال حبوا اعدائكم باركم لعنيكم. لكن هي الضربة الجوية اللي عملها دي كانت حق على الدولة انها ترد لنا جزء من الغليل اللي كان في وسطنا على طول الفترة اللي هم عايشونا فيها بس. لكن هم لو من يوم ما اتاخدوا كانوا استشهدوا احنا ما كناش عايزين حاجة.
يا حبيبي. اسألك سؤال يا بشير.
طول الفترة بس اللي قعدوا فيها دي هي دي الضربة الجوية بس تشغلنا لطول الفترة بس.
عظيم ايمانك يا بشير. عايز اسألك سؤال بالايمان الحلو ده.
اتفضل يا فندم.
هل لو احنا طلبنا غفران ليهم انت تتضايق او حد جنبك يتضايق؟
غفران لمين؟
للي ذبحوا للي قتلوا.
انا النهارده كنت قاعد مع امي بقول لها يا امي ايه رايك لو عدى داعش ده اللي خد ابنك في الشارع هتقومي تعملي له ايه؟ قالت صراحة يعني مش كلام مزيف ولا كلام ما اقوله لك عشان صوته مسموع ولا حاجة. قالت لي انا اقول له اتفضل يا اللي دخلتنا الملكوت.
ايه الجمال.
صدقني بالامانة كلام مش اما بقوله لك انا، ده كلام من على لسان امي.
مصدق يا حبيبي.
ويعني مرة من غير تعليم، مرة 60 سنة. اما اقول لها ايه رايك لو داعش ده معدي في الشارع اللي هم اشخاص داعش دي معديين في الشارع وقلت لي طعام يوم اللي دبح اولادي، بقيت اقول له ربنا ينور عينك يا ابني اتفضل
يا رب
تعالى اللي دخلتنا الملكوت.
طب يا حبيبي بالروح الحلوه دي ممكن تطلب لنا طلبه من ربنا تصلي لاجلهم دلوقتي وانت على الهوا كده؟
يا رب اجعل دول ليهم نور لعنيهم يدخل يتنجوا منه.
عظيم يا حبيبي.
ويسيبوا من الجهل اللي هم عايشين فيه وعلى التعليم الغلط.
امين يا حبيبي. امين. بلغ تعازينا يا حبيبي الماما ولاخواتك وللأسرة ولجيرانك المنكوبين زينا كلنا. شكرا يا بشير. شكرا يا حبيبي.
شكرا.
Levi, yes, come on up. You know, you like to think that if you were put in a position to either recant your faith or die for Jesus, that you would have your strength or your faith would be strong enough, and by the power of the Spirit, you would be willing to give your life for your faith. And I look at that and I go, man, it's a powerful witness for Jesus. But when I hear that guy and what his mother expresses, and this guy praying for the people who killed his brothers, I think that's a more powerful witness of the Spirit being alive in you. How do you forgive people like that? How do you even have a desire to forgive people like that? They have this vision of this world that I'm telling you, a lot of us locked here in America, we don't see it. See, they don't have a lot. And they know that the kingdom of God is real. At that song we sang earlier, you know, that out of Revelation, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, that stuff's going on in heaven and there's a place that we're all going to go where there's no more tears, no more death, no more dying. That's real to them. So she's like, they helped us enter the kingdom. I just feel like some of that stuff that we have that keeps us from God is maybe stripped away there, and they just have that communication, the spirit, maybe on a deeper level at times. Doesn't mean we can't have it here. Scripture says we can quench the spirit, we can grieve the spirit, or we can be filled with the spirit, as Paul admonishes, Ephesians 5:15-18. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And if you read that in the Greek, the force of that is be being filled with the Spirit. Not a one-time deal. Be being filled with the Spirit. Each day, God, I need you today. I need your power. I need your presence in this life. I need to hear you. I need to walk with you. I want to stay in step with your Spirit. I want to be your witness. I want to be used by you. We need to take moments like that daily.